Blog Talk Radio.
Okay. Welcome, everyone, to Joy Radio, people inspiring people. Today, it is January 27th, 2016, and I am Patty Wellick Hall, host of Joy Radio. Joy Radio's mission is to educate, empower, and inspire. And that's exactly what our guest, David Brown Jr., coach and author of Letters for Lucia, is going to do today. David Brown Jr. is a former senior leader in financial services. He earned a degree in finance at the University of Delaware and an executive MBA at Villanova and continues studying organizational leadership. David is also a part of the adjunct faculty at Villanova University, where he teaches MBA students who partner with local Philadelphia social enterprises how to lead semester-long consulting engagements using a systems thinking approach to solving business problems. As a transformation coach, David works with clients to identify and improve areas that are preventing them from having an optimal life experience. He has a high desire to encourage others to awaken their passions and begin to lead more purposeful lives. Sharing his personal story of being separated from his daughter and how that trauma awakened his heart to loving kindness and compassion has further fueled his desire to help others. David is also a certified Reiki practitioner. Welcome, David, and thank you so much for joining us today on Joy Radio.
Hi, good morning, Patty. Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, this is quite an honor. I'm very excited about this interview, especially after reading your book. So, to get this started, David, please share a little about the circumstances, you know, regarding the abduction of your daughter. I mean, I can hardly believe this even happened, but how were you able to take this journey of resentment and anger and transform it into one of compassion and forgiveness?
Well, to give you a little bit of background, you know, the story really begins in early 2012. You know, I was in a situation where I felt like my life was rolling in the direction that I wanted, especially professionally. You know, I was taking on larger jobs with bigger responsibility, and things were really coming together the way that I desired. The one piece that was always missing was romance and love. And in January of 2012, I met a really, really beautiful woman, and we'll call her Jolie because that's the name that I use in the book. And she was from Uzbekistan. We instantly connected. I met her through a mutual friend, and we had similar values and aspirations. And quite frankly, after a couple of months, we were already talking about getting married, you know, a couple of years from that point to allow her to finish school. And we found out she was pregnant, and at that point, we decided to get married because it was important for in her culture to be married prior to having a child. When my daughter was born, which was November of 2012, I think that became the point where we realized that we had a lot of differences, you know, differences in terms of finances, healthcare for our child, et cetera, et cetera. And about a year later, in October of 2013, we decided that we were going to get a divorce. And with that process, we decided to live separately. And my wife at the time, she lived with her mother and kept my daughter during the week. And then I would visit her on the weekends. About a month after that, I awoke into an email from my wife. And I'll never forget how this started. It said, "Dear David, I want you to sit down and take a deep breath before you continue to read this letter." And In that moment, you know, my heart just seemed to stop and everything really seemed to slow down. And I knew that something was wrong. And as I continued to read the email, she wrote in it that she had left and had taken our daughter because she didn't want to go through the divorce process. She didn't want to put our daughter specifically through the divorce process and potentially lose custody. And what's interesting is at the same time, literally within 15 minutes, I received a phone call saying that one of my closest aunts had passed away. So a lot of trauma in that situation. For a moment, I went into shock, and it almost felt like it was something out of a movie. And I had a hard time really wrapping my arms around my emotions, you know, because I was feeling grief and embarrassment, shame, guilt, helpless, hopeless, you know, any emotion, any negative emotion that one could think of when going through a tragic situation seemed to bubble up. A few days after the abduction, I started actually writing letters to my daughter as a way to connect with her emotionally. And the letters were really simple, you know, it was describing how much I missed her and how much I loved her and describing my day. And after about 2 weeks of writing letters, my daughter actually came to me in a dream. And in that dream, she was a little bit older because at the time she was about 11 months. And in the dream, she popped up in my lap and she kissed me on the cheek and she whispered in my ear. And what she told me was, "Everything's going to be okay, Daddy." And that moment honestly just completely changed my life. The next day, the feelings of that dream just stayed with me, and it resonated in my stomach and heart area with this really strong sense of peace. And that eventually turned into compassion, and I started to feel compassion and empathy for myself. And then I was able to then eventually project that out to my wife to then bring her into that space, which ultimately led to me forgiving her.
Okay, so what you are saying then, David, is that the trauma served as a catalyst for your awakening. Is that correct?
That is absolutely correct.
Which, you know, I think we're, for many people, it's always a choice which direction we go with the trauma, and you moved into the very positive direction, and God bless you for that, because that's not always an easy process. So can you explain to us, David, you know, so how has this experience changed you from who you were to who you are today?
You know, it's interesting because I think if you asked my friends and family, you know, they would say that a part of me is still very, very much the same. But for me, I feel like my entire experience of the world is really very different than what it has been. You know, I feel like I've connected to this authentic version of who I really am, you know, which has me comfortable with being vulnerable. It has me comfortable with expressing what's truly in my heart. And I think with that comes this deeper connection to humanity, you know, and mm-hmm. I realize that, you know, we're all having these unique experiences and are perceiving life through different lenses. And there's really no right or wrong or good or bad with that. They're just different, you know. And I think through that, and since we're all trying to, you know, really do our best, it's almost like we tend to judge one another because we don't see the world the same way. And as I look at it now, it makes sense to me that we don't see it the same way. And we're just different. And I feel so much more connected to, you know, people that are suffering throughout the world.
So you feel that judging others and their direction that and where they're going in life has dissolved for you, and you sit back and just observe and accept since this experience?
Yeah, you know, and I often describe it as being the observer and the observed. And mm-hmm. in that moment of being the observed, it's almost like being a third party watching a movie unfold. And with that, I can empathize with all sides of a situation. So, for example, I can empathize with how I viewed my situation with my wife, and I can also empathize with how she viewed the situation. And recognizing that we're both having a unique experience, mm-hmm. and typically they're not going to match. So I can't really replicate how she was feeling, and vice versa,
right.
She can't replicate how I was feeling, you know. So,
right.
Again, it's
right.
just different. And having that view allows me to really remove my emotions from pretty much any situation, and therein lies the judgment.
Right. I mean, allowing, personally, I mean, just allowing other people to be on their own journey. We're not all in the same place, but we have to It's just best to honor where they are on their journey, and That's the only way that we really have peace in our hearts, because otherwise we get tangled up in all of those emotions, which you could have very possibly done. But David, I was wondering if you would be so kind, since you have read, you have written such beautiful heartfelt letters to Lucia, would you mind reading one of those letters for the audience?
Sure. So my favorite letter is for Chapter 8, which is about the gratitude principle. So here's how it goes. Dear Lucia, as I write this letter, we have been apart for 18 long months, and each day I hope and pray that we will soon be reunited. Every month has tested me in ways that I never imagined. Prior to the time that we were separated, I had never dealt with any major life traumas, so I've been blessed in that regard. The experience of suddenly being separated from you has often felt surreal, and I repeatedly shot questions out to the greater universe asking why it was happening to me. Then you appeared to me in a dream telling me that everything would be okay. That beautiful dream brought forward an inspiring new perspective. Rather than happening to me, could it be happening for me? Since life challenges are often sudden, surprising, and even frightening, we're not always quick to see them as opportunities. Amazingly, we continue to expand with every experience, including harsh challenges. All of these aspects of ourselves enlarge: knowing, skills, understanding, awareness, and more. We seem to be new, emerging from each experience, and that, my dear, is one of the most intriguing aspects of life. At the very center of living is the conscious expansion of who we are. Each of us is completely in charge of the labels that we put on our experiences, good or bad, wanted or unwanted. Each experience fuels our expansion, which shapes our perspectives. When your awareness revs up and you deeply know that you are in moments of expansion, gratitude pours in, and you may even be inspired to share with others.
That's beautiful. Go ahead.
Okay. I want you to know that I hold all that has happened in the last 18 months in a space of gratitude. Someone else might misinterpret my words and believe that I'm happy for the trauma, but that is not at all what I mean. My gratitude is born out of focusing on a larger picture and greater good unfolding, a greater good for so many more than just you and me, my angel. I have been writing letters to you about choosing to live purposefully and the principles that I've been privileged to experience and understand. The principle that embraces all of the others is gratitude. When feelings of acceptance and compassion are missing, then it is almost impossible to sincerely express gratitude. Writing this book has been a way for me to express my love for you and channel positive energy to you. With all of my heart, I truly hope that one day you'll be able to read each page and feel how much you have been loved and continue to be loved. Moreover, I hope you will learn to look at life experiences in multiple ways and recognize that a short-term unhappiness could evolve into a significant long-term goodness for you and many others. Setting your intention to purposefully look through the lens of gratitude is the ultimate tribute to the human experience. As you grow, my angel, know that you are lacking nothing, and make it your intention to practice gratitude for all that has already been given. The love that I have for you transcends the thousands of miles and the many hours that we've been apart. Just like the air that you breathe, I am always with you. I love you always and forever, Daddy.
That's beautiful. Very positive in all respects. And David, out of all of the principles that you have, the 8 principles, is there a reason you chose? Why does the gratitude principle speak to your heart the most?
You know, it's interesting because the principles actually came to me through a meditation. And I saw these 8 words listed, and I ended up writing them down. And I didn't really understand at the time what I was seeing. But eventually I saw this bridge and this opportunity to connect these 8 aspects or principles that I realized I was learning during this time of separation, and realized they're so universal and so profound that I felt like the best way to express my love and to really give a wonderful gift to my daughter would be to share how these principles have shown up for me and really led me to a path of peace. With gratitude specifically, that, you know, there's been a huge shift in me, because I've always been grateful for the things that have been positive in my life, especially growing up. And what I realize is that the negative experiences that we have often expand us the most. So again, we have the choice in how we choose to hold the situations that we're in. And if I choose to look at a negative situation with gratitude, I realize that there are lessons that are being learned throughout that process. And so gratitude to me has been a really powerful way of looking at the world, looking at both negative and positive aspects of life through that lens really changes how I experience them, and it's much less painful.
Yeah. And while we're on principles, I was just wondering if you wouldn't mind just discussing the 8 principles for navigating adversity, and if you could just tell us a little bit about the principles, and which did you call upon the most as you dealt with loss with your daughter? Maybe it obviously might have been gratitude. Anyway, just so the listeners can get an idea of what each one of them and a little short blurb on what they are about would be much appreciated, Dave.
Sure. The first principle is heart. And this was one that I really called upon a lot. My mother, when I was making the decision to get married, my mother encouraged me to follow my heart. And that's something that she's always done ever since I was younger. And I realized when making that decision that oftentimes the mind can come in and begin to intercept your thoughts, your feelings with fear. And with the heart principle, it's about understanding that little voice that oftentimes we shut down or we don't hear because of all the distractions that we have. You know, so tapping into that intuitive sense. In addition, when my daughter came to me in the dream, I realized I was experiencing this really, really pure love. And I realized there's a feeling associated with that. It's not so much a thought. And so I feel like I'm in this heart-centered space for making decisions where I'm really relying more on feeling than I am on thinking my way through situations. The second principle is awareness. And awareness is an extremely powerful one because it's tying our emotions and really disconnecting us from our emotions, being aware that our emotions don't have to define us. We have the ability to define our emotions. Unfortunately, in many instances, we learn very early on how to interact with our emotions. And for many of us, our emotions just take control. Once we begin to emote, we're on autopilot at times. And awareness is about creating that distinction, understanding that you don't have to respond the same way that you've been responding. You can have an opportunity to make a conscious choice. Intentions is the third principle, and that is all about our thoughts. And I call intentions the fuel to our thoughts because they eventually lead to how we actually manifest our reality. So understanding the importance of what you're thinking about, where you're putting your focus and energy, eventually leads to how you manifest your experience. Fourth principle is acceptance. And this was one that honestly, I think because of the circumstances, was a little bit easier to understand because I had no way of contacting my wife, and I really had to accept the fact that this was happening to me because I really couldn't do anything about it. But it's understanding that we don't control our outside environment. The only thing that we can control is how we respond to situations, and that ultimately informs our perspective. So acceptance is about not trying to control everything around you and really focusing on controlling yourself. Compassion is the fifth principle. Kind of really tie that to empathy and this understanding that we're all trying to do our best. Many of us are just trying to prevent pain. In that prevention of pain, oftentimes we may hurt others. And being compassionate for individuals who are suffering in that regard and understanding what it's like to walk in their shoes opens up the heart space. And that leads to the sixth principle of forgiveness, which to me is pretty self-explanatory. However, it's important to know that when it comes to forgiveness, there are two sides to that equation. So there is the person who is offering forgiveness, and then there's the receiver. When a person offers heartfelt forgiveness, they are then releasing all of the negative energy and emotions that are associated with that. when a person receiving forgiveness accepts it, they are doing the same. But the key is that those are mutually exclusive, right? So the person who's offering mm-hmm. doesn't necessarily have to receive acknowledgement from the other person in order to really let it go. And I think that's a misconception at times.
Yes, I agree.
The seventh principle is loving unconditionally. And this quite simply is loving people regardless of circumstance. I look at it as loving people because they're human. And we all deal with difficult situations and we're all trying to do our best. And the last principle, as I mentioned, which really encompasses all of them, is gratitude, which is being grateful for all that's given. And that's in the good times and it's in the bad times.
And so, David, just curious, what really drove you to write all of these letters to Lucia?
You know, for a while I felt so hopeless. And I wanted a way, I realized that the letters that I was writing to her personally really was the best way that I knew how to express love to her. And with that, it created this healing effect. And I realized that if there's a possibility that I'm not going to see her until mm-hmm. she's 18 or you know, it's a big unknown, it was important for me for her to know mm-hmm. how much I cared and loved her. And what's interesting, though, is as I wrote the book, it was about her and I. But as the manuscripts were completed and the publisher came back with covers, you know, I eventually realized that this was much bigger than her and I, you know, because mm-hmm. now I look at the abduction as more a metaphor for just challenging situations in our lives. Because as people mm-hmm. began to read this book and began to come back to me, they're telling me, wow, your story is great, but you changed my life. Like, well, how mm-hmm. does that happen? You know, and I realize that people are putting themselves in the situation and understanding that they have choice. So mm-hmm. clearly this started with my daughter and I and me wanting very deeply to connect with her. And now I feel like it's expanding into this other space to help the broader humanity.
So really what you're saying here too is as you were going through this whole process of writing the letters to Lucia, and the eight principles coming that tied in with that, you realized during that process that, as you mentioned before, this was actually happening for you, you know,
right.
not to you. And which I think is a giant revelation in life when people can step back, David, and they can say, oh my God, get away from the victim role and really hold up the mirror and say, what is it I need to learn here? What is, because there's always, I believe anyway, that there's always a lesson behind everything that happens to us in life. Do you feel the same way, David? And does that apply to your journey?
Absolutely. Actually, my coaching teacher had a saying, and I don't know exactly where she picked it up, but her saying was, everything in life is either a blessing or a lesson. And
yeah.
that's just something that has always stuck with me. And I believe that there are no coincidences. And the universal order is always unfolding, even if in the moment we don't understand it. You know? And again, I think it ties directly back to being grateful for everything that we're experiencing. And that's where the transformation begins to really take place.
And here's my saying about that, David. Everything's exactly the way it is, or it would be different. So we need to learn the lessons and cope and continue to grow, which you obviously have done by sharing this story. So tell me how you feel people reading this book, how can this transform their lives, you know, physically, emotionally, and spiritually?
Yeah, so I think the book really touches on all of those aspects. And, you know, so the story itself is very heartfelt. And I think starting with even the dedication, people have told me that they sense the love that I have for my daughter. And that is unwavering. And I think, and I feel like that energy carries throughout the book. And so what's happening is as people are reading the story, they're in this compassionate place. But then at the end of every chapter, I really reflect on the chapter and I begin to apply it to different circumstances. And I started to integrate some of my coaching skills by leaving the reader with reflection questions. And the reflection questions are designed to really get people in this, readers in this mode of self-discovery. And so what's happening is you're in this highly conscious state of compassion and empathy, and now you're pulling yourself into that space as well and starting to think about, well, wow, I was in a situation similar to this, you know, similar meaning there's adversity in my life, and how am I holding that? What am I doing with that? What sort of energy am I putting out? Am I forgiving people? Am I forgiving myself? Right, so all of these questions begin to run through people's minds as they're going through this self-discovery phase. And what I'm realizing is that that's where this transformation is happening for readers. You know, I can't tell you how many people have come back to me to say this book has changed their life. And for me, to hear that for the first time, it actually was a very emotional situation for me because I felt like that was my confirmation that this was all happening for a reason. You know, and as more and more people came to share that with me, I realized, wow, this can really have a profound effect, and how can I maximize getting this book out to people and also connecting with them on this deeper way to continue this process of transformation.
So that brings me right up to my next question, which is, so what's next for you in spreading your message?
Yeah, so I'm going to do the traditional book tour thing in the Delaware, Philadelphia, New Jersey area. So I'm working with the publisher on that. I have started to develop workshops, which are experiential in nature, and they tie directly to these principles. And I don't have a timeline yet in terms of when they'll be available, but I'm thinking sometime in the second quarter. And I'll be sharing all that information on my website. And I've also started speaking engagements as well. So I've got a few set up for February and a couple in March. So if folks are interested in having me speak to their group, to their place of worship, all of them are appropriate. They can reach out to me on my website.
And where can they reach out to you, David? Could you share that with the audience, please?
Yeah, so my website is davidbrownjr.com. And it's key to note that Junior is spelled out, J-U-N-I-O-R. So there's information there about speaking engagements and reaching out to me. There's also information regarding my coaching practice. And people can also email me directly at david@davidbrownjr.com. And I'm also very active on social media. My Twitter handle is @David_Brown_JR. And they can also find me on Facebook at facebook.com/DavidBrownJr.
And where can they find your book?
So the book is available on all of the major online outlets at this point. So if you're familiar with Amazon or Barnes & Noble, it's available there. You can get it on Kindle and in Nook format and the ebook format. If you have a local bookstore, you can reach out to them. They may carry it there. I don't know exactly where it's been geographically dispersed. But if you want to go to your bookstore and you're looking for it and they don't have it in stock, they can also order it for potential readers as well.
That's great. Thank you, David. And one last question before we wrap it up. I was just wondering, how has writing this book into your life?
For me, there's something so powerful about having a person change their perspective in the moment. And to see them move from feeling hopeless to hopeful.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, it almost gives me a sense of purpose when I'm able to do that, whether it's through coaching one-on-one or whether it's having a conversation after someone has read the book and they're telling me how they're looking at these difficult situations in a different way. And if come to terms with accepting it and found their own space of peace, regardless of whatever the circumstances are. To me, that has brought me a tremendous amount of joy and has really led me, you know, full force investing on myself in continuing to spread this message.
And joy is contagious, let me just tell you right now. So as you vibrate with that joy, it too will go outward and inspire others, David. And I just want to thank you so much for being on Joy Radio, and I so, so appreciate your spirit and your beautiful light. And it's truly been an honor interviewing you and being able to help you spread your message. And I'd like to also thank all of our listeners for tuning in today. And I invite you to visit my website, PattyWallachHall.com, to listen to previous interviews on Joy Radio. You've been listening to David Brown, Jr., coach and author of Letters for Lucia. Thank you so much again, David. And this is Patty Wellick Hall, host of Joy Radio, signing off with that contagious children's laughter. And may joy find its way into your hearts today. Namaste. Thank you, David.
Thank you, Patty.
Thank you all for tuning in today. Thank you. Bye-bye.